Today, we begin a new sermon series on the Beatitudes. The teachings of the Beatitudes are essential for God's children to achieve sanctification and enter New Jerusalem. These precious words enlighten us on how we should transform ourselves to resemble the Lord's heart. As we learn the truth and forsake sin, spiritual love, the ninth fruits of the Holy Spirit, and the Beatitudes will take root in us. People who fully bear the fruits of the Holy Spirit are sanctified and qualified to enter the third kingdom of heaven. When they achieve the Beatitudes on top of them, they can enter New Jerusalem. Those who long for New Jerusalem should make bread of all the teachings of the Beatitudes. The spiritual love chapter, and once you fully bear the nice fruits of the Spirit, we are called a man of spirit. But if you achieved some of the fruits and not others, then you're not have entered the spirit. When you evenly borne the fruit, all the fruits of the Spirit, let's say you are lacking in some fruits, you are not called perfect, you cannot be said to have fully bared the nine fruits of the Spirit. You have to evenly and equally bear the nine fruits of the Spirit enough. And about the Beatitudes, we start with the being poor in spirit, and then we go deeper and deeper, and we go into deeper levels. When you hear about the being poor in spirit, it's about being able to receive salvation and choose the Lord and choose the Word of God. But while you just there are different levels embedded in the Beatitudes. It also covers the levels of the whole Spirit, the Beatitudes. You have to realize that and try to achieve them. And then you can ultimately enter whole Spirit. Through today's words, I encourage you to examine how much you've embodied these teachings. May you quickly fulfill them and enjoy true blessings, both in heaven and on earth. Likely, there's no one who dislikes being blessed. But what does blessing really mean? Many are seeing blessings as having abundant wealth, good health, honor, power, and a peaceful family. Of course, material wealth and health are important in life. When you have peace in your family, you are happy whatever you do. But few people enjoy all these blessings, and even fewer can maintain them forever. Above all, the greatest blessing is the blessing of eternal life, which this world can never give. What good is a lifetime of wealth, glory, and pleasure if you end up in hell? True blessing is salvation, eternal life, and entering heaven. Even on earth, God grants abundant blessings to save children who live according to His will. This is a true blessing. Jesus, the Son of God, came to offer God's true and eternal blessings to all peoples. Throughout His public ministry, Jesus repeatedly proclaimed the messages of blessings. He didn't just share it once, but repeatedly preached it in many places. These are precious words declared to all peoples, as well as believers of the Lord, so that all of us can receive true blessings. Yeah. Let's look at the Beatitudes Jesus spoke of in detail. The first blessing is found in Matthew chapter 5, verse 3. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Do you prefer poverty or wealth? Naturally, wealth is better. Once you are blessed with material abundance and become wealthy, it becomes easier for us to glorify God, evangelize, and help the needy, and support the missionary works. In the Old Testament time, God promised that if we live by His word, we will be blessed whether we come in or go out. We will be the head. This is our God's promise. And Jesus said that those who are poor in spirit are blessed. If you don't understand this spiritual meaning, you may find this to be weird, awkward. But being poor in spirit from today's passage is not about being poor financially, but it is about being poor in spirit. What does it mean to be poor in spirit? It refers to the state where one has a good heart, free from evil, and is ready to empty himself. Being poor in spirit is directly connected to salvation. Jesus said in Mark chapter 10, verse 25, "It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God." Those who are poor in spirit long for the spiritual things to satisfy their poor spirit and thirst for God's grace to fill their hearts. Because of this, they are more receptive to the gospel and obedient to God's word, which makes salvation easier. Those whose hearts are filled with the world, the rich in pride, are the opposite. Attached to worldly wealth, power, and honor, they are resistant to the gospel. Those with a successful business and a peaceful family may have few needs, so they don't pay attention when someone shares the gospel. Not just about young adults, also young adults who think they are healthy, who think they have no difficulties in life. These people, we have many healing testimonies. We have testimonies of blessings, how we met God and have our problems resolved and have peace in the heart. And we confess that God is living and the Lord is our Savior. We believe that. But those people who don't have any needs, don't pay attention to the gospel, to those testimonies. Even though they look peaceful on the outside, it's regrettable that they are. And our shepherd also said he met God after suffering from illnesses for 7 years. Before that, he was filled with confidence and he was young and he wanted to study hard and he wanted to implement his plan and become successful. And he had such confidence, filled with confidence, that he would do all this. But as he got stricken with the disease and he got frail and weak and impossible to do anything, he was hopeless. Even though he previously thought that he could do everything, and he denied God exists, and he even asked, "Where is God? If there is God, show me." Because he was filled with confidence, he said that. But as he physically suffered and he was hopeless, he laid down everything, and he found himself impossible to do anything. Even though, at the end of, after he laid down everything, she was guided by his sister to the church. He happened to visit a meeting, and God reached out to him first, and he experienced that blessing. Even among worldly people are those who are rich in pride and don't refuse to accept God. And even worldly people know that if they go to church, they have to stop drinking, they have to live a good life, they have to stop all the worldly pleasures. They know all that. That's why they refuse the gospel. They refuse to go to church. When we share the gospel, we show them, present the living evidences of God, and they cannot deny it because we ourselves have our own testimonies and we present them with the evidences. So they don't deny that. But they say that it will be difficult for me to go to church right now, and they don't want to accept the gospel. Others may be so attached to the world that they resist evangelism, unwilling to let go of it. Some say they are too busy with work and consider going to church as a waste of time. Others are busy with preparation for exams and say they don't find time to go to church. These people have their hearts filled with worldly pursuits. These people have their hearts filled with worldly pursuits, so they have no room for the Lord. Just as a camel cannot go through the eye of a needle, it is difficult for such people who are rich in pride to enter heaven. Does this mean we should cease evangelizing our family members, neighbors, and others who dearly love the world and reject the gospel? No. Even they may eventually experience a time when their hearts become poor, a turning point where they suddenly feel the fleeting nature of life, face a business failure, experience a discord in their family, or suffer from illnesses. At that point, they want to rely on something. Then they begin listening to or humbly accept the gospel, even if they used to ignore or oppose it. They can be blessed to... You have to know that you have... That doesn't mean you have to wait for your family members to face a trouble. You have to share the gospel and they hear what you say. Because the gospel doesn't benefit them, they seem to ignore it. But what they hear and see remains in their heart. So when they face a trouble, they recall what you said to them. And because they have heard and seen the gospel, when a time, difficult time arrives, they will open the door to their hearts. Some people say they've tried to share the gospel with their parents and their parents didn't listen to them. But as their parents are in trouble, they ask for their prayer and they wanted to listen to the word of God because they have nothing to rely on because they cannot rely on the medicine. Even though they have rejected the gospel, now they open the door to their heart and they ask our members to pray for them and they ask for the pastor's prayer. And as they open the door just a little, God gives them a grace and they experience healing and they are led onto the way to salvation. So you should not be discouraged. Even though that doesn't mean you have to persistently talk about the gospel to them. When they are in good spirits, when they're happy, you can talk about the gospel. And when it feels like they were ready to accept the gospel, you have to do it wisely. But you should not wait for them to face a big trouble. You have to always have shared the gospel with them so that when they face a trouble, they will find you. And they can be blessed to own heaven as they become poor in spirit. Our shepherd, when he was filled with confidence, he rejected the gospel, but as he found himself impossible, helpless, God reached out to him, and he found God to be the only source of strength and power. And he loved God first, and it wasn't difficult for him to love God first. And there's a time when a person is ready to open his heart. Once he opens his heart, he can be blessed to own heaven. I urge you to devote yourselves to evangelizing. As 2 Timothy chapter 4 verse 2 tells us, preach the word, be ready in season and out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort, and with great patience and instruction. In Luke chapter 16, Jesus gives a parable to show what a great blessing it is to be poor in spirit. It is a story of a rich man and the beggar Lazarus. The rich man who lived in luxury and feasted every day became rich in pride, so he did not live according to God's word. Despite being poor and begging at the rich man's gate with his sores licked by dogs, Lazarus believed in God, being poor in spirit. After death, Lazarus received salvation and enjoyed happiness and wealth completely different from those of the earth. Their fortunes were completely reversed. After death, Lazarus enjoyed true peace and rest in Abraham's embrace, while the rich man who lived in luxury fell into the lower grave to face excruciating torment. Suffering in hot flames, the rich man desperately longed for a drop of water, but this is impossible in hell. Even those who are powerful and wealthy on the earth are helpless in hell. All who end up there equally suffer in the fire and live in eternal torment without any hope. In contrast, no matter how much they are persecuted and mistreated on the earth, those who are poor in spirit and believe in the Lord inherit the eternal blessing of heaven. Interestingly, the phrase, "For theirs is the kingdom of heaven," is repeated once more in the eighth and final blessing of the Beatitudes. The Bible says, "Blessed are those who have been persecuted for the sake of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." While the two phrases are the same literally, heaven in each phrase carries a different spiritual meaning, which I will explain later. Have all of you worshiping today received the first blessing? Even if there are sins you haven't fully abandoned, your poor spirit led you to accept the gospel and inherit kingdom. But this is not enough. What did Apostle Paul, who was not only saved, but possessed the great faith of demonstrating God's amazing power, confess? "Not that I have already obtained it or have already become perfect, but I press on so that I may lay hold of that for which also I was laid hold of by Christ Jesus." This highlights proactive faith that continues to grow until complete salvation. Though someone has received the Holy Spirit, if he stops praying or living the truth, no one can assure that he will remain saved. Some begin with a humble spirit, believing in God and serving faithfully, but later become proud and fall into the worldly desires. As Galatians chapter 3 verse 3 says, "Are you so foolish? Having begun by the Spirit, are you now being perfected by the flesh? If someone begins in the Spirit but ends in the flesh, they may lose the blessing of salvation and the kingdom of heaven. Names in the book of life can be erased." Philippians chapter 2 verse 12 also says, "So then, my beloved, just as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your salvation with fear and trembling." This means we must cast off evil daily, purify our hearts more, and cultivate a truly poor spirit. You accepted the Lord with a poor spirit. And you may think, because I accepted the Lord with poor spirit, that's enough. No, you should not think that way. You should not stop there. Our salvation, the work for our salvation, shouldn't cease until we meet the Lord. You may think, because I'm not out of the boundary of salvation, I'm okay. But you have to attain perfect salvation, advance to better dwelling places in heaven. Otherwise, you may lose. You may fall away from faith. You have to attain faith that doesn't waver. Once you shouldn't stop. You want to please God continually, and you want to attain God's perfection. You wouldn't think, I'm enough, that's enough. You may think that you've accepted the gospel with a poor spirit, so I already achieved and fulfilled that message. You have to strive to be more poor in spirit, and as we do so, not only will eternal heaven be ours, but it will come upon even our earthly life. As we have a pure heart, our Lord will accompany us in our life, so we will be blessed and prosperous whether we come in or go out. As promised in Deuteronomy chapter 28, you will be the head, not the tail. You will lend and not borrow. Just as Lot was blessed being with Abraham, those around you will also be blessed. Spiritual power and authority will also come upon you, so you can win people's love wherever you are and expand God's kingdom. Once you become more poor in spirit, you will receive blessings and your soul will prosper more, and you can be used as important instruments in God's kingdom. You have to be poorer and poorer in spirit. Then, how can we firmly hold on to the true blessing of possessing heaven with a poor spirit without being swayed? You have to become poorer in spirit, more perfectly poorer in spirit. First, we must forsake the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 and 16 says, "Do not love the world, nor the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the boastful pride of life, is not from the Father, but is from the world." As long as someone has the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, they are loving the world and rich in pride, which draws them away from the blessings of heaven. Once you have the lust of the flesh and pride of life and the lust of the eyes, let me briefly explain about them. To briefly explain, first, the lust of the flesh refers to the desires of one's flesh to commit sins. With this, a person has desires to reveal his sinful natures outwardly. Namely, he has desires to commit sins. When a person has sinful attributes like laziness, adultery, debauchery, hatred, envy, jealousy, judgment, and condemnation, and encounters situations that trigger these attributes, then untruth will be manifested as deeds and thoughts. This is the lust of the flesh. As much as a person piles up the deeds of the flesh, which are committed in action, the lust of the flesh becomes deeply rooted in the heart. For example, as you repeatedly lose your temper with someone who causes you trouble, it piles up in you, and you become a person of hot temper before you know it. Whenever a difficult or uncomfortable situation arises, you react with anger and irritation by repeating the deeds of the flesh. Such deeds become rooted as the lust of the flesh in the heart. The flesh is and the works of the flesh are the things that committed in action, and we are talking about the desires to commit sins as you habitually. Our habit can bring about frightening outcome. Once you repeatedly commit those things, you lose your self-control. That means it becomes embedded in your heart, your sinful nature, sinful attributes. Once you commit these things, they take root in your body, and you habitually commit those forms of evil, and the desires I refer to as the lust of the flesh. I'm talking about this in detail because we have to root them out. You shouldn't just think, it would be good for me to cast off sins and evil. Any Christians would want to cast off sins and evil. Any Christians would want to stop being angry, but it doesn't happen as they wish. So that's why we are explaining this in detail. We are talking about sinful natures and the desires to commit us that inspires to commit sins. You shouldn't. You have to know this in detail, and we are discussing it this in detail because we need to achieve sanctification. So how can we get rid of this lust of the flesh? First, we must cut off old habits, and these are the flesh that manifest outwardly. Through fervent prayer, we must cast off the lust of the flesh settled in our hearts and discard things in our nature one by one. In the end, we'll be able to achieve a poor spirit before God. Is it easy to stop doing works of the flesh? Once you make a resolve, it's possible. Let's say you have a lot of anger. Anger is useless. It causes damage to your family members and people around you. You have to feel this in the depths of your heart. And the adultery just defiles your body. And you should be ashamed. You are embarrassed before the Lord and God. And you have to make a resolve. In addition, you have to pray. You have to pray. And only with prayer we can have self-control and cast them off. First thing we have to do is to cast off the works of the flesh, which can be cast off more quickly. Even after casting off works of the flesh, you still have the things of the flesh, and you commit sins in your thoughts and your mind, and you have to pray fervently, and you have to ask, you have to say, Father God, please, I still have hatred. Please change this hatred into love. As you read the word, as you pray, as you unceasingly strive, they are cast off. For example, someone who struggles with anger must practice self-control and respond with gentle words and actions instead of in anger. Through fervent prayer, he has to burn away even the roots of anger remaining deep within his heart. Now, we don't have enough time to go into more details, so I'm just highlighting the if we go in more detail, we need more time, like an hour, or we cannot go. There are sermons that explains in detail how to cast off anger, like one kind of sinful nature cannot be cast off easily, but once you make a resolve and strive hard, you can have them cast off, because we have the grace from Father God and strength from Father. You cannot do it on your own. You have to rely on the power and strength from God, and they are cast off. You should not hold on to the loss of the flesh. You should not continue to repent, but you have to cast them off. The works of the flesh and the things of the flesh, once you cast off such things from your heart, Secondly, the lust of the eyes refers to the attributes by which one's heart is agitated by what he sees and hears and desires to pursue them. For example, someone trying to quit smoking may be tempted to smoke again if they carry cigarettes in their pocket or see others smoking. This is like continually allowing reinforcements into a besieged city. You have to destroy a city, and you are besieging that city with soldiers, and you are attacking the city. You have to make it crumble down. But you allow reinforcements into the city again and again. Then what would happen? How could you possibly destroy that city? You have to first prevent those reinforcements from coming into the city, and then attack it. Then you can make it crumble down. But if you continually allow such reinforcements, such soldiers and military supplies into the city, then things will be delayed and the city won't be destroyed. To make a besieged city surrender as soon as possible, we must block off all the reinforcements. Likewise, to cast off attributes of loving the world, we must completely cut off the sources which lead us to sin through the lust of the eyes. To block off the lust of the eyes, we must refuse to see, hear, or even think about anything that is not truth. Nowadays, what we see and hear, there are many things of untruth that affect people's lives by seeing and hearing, like through cell phones. They have access to much information, like, and through social media. People brag and boast of what they have, like they travel to the world and they buy luxurious items and then brag about that on social media, and people get envious and jealousy. This is the lust of the eyes. They, depending on what you see and hear, this is what you put in your heart. Like, you like food, you always think about delicacies, always think about the fancy restaurants. If you want to be on a diet, you have to cast off all interest in food, restaurants, and you have to be focused on the truth. Only then, like the people who are healed, what they have in common is that they cut off the worldly things. Even adults, even older generation, they have access to cell phones and they repent. They get information. People are so attached to the news. I'm not saying that watching news is a sin. You just get to know what's happening around the world, and you can briefly watch what is happening. But some people enjoy watching people just debating, and they just judge and condemn each other. We see a lot of criticism on the people, and then you get to also judge others, and you also find yourself judging and condemning others. This is strengthening your untruth and sending reinforcements into your heart. Nowadays, we have a flood of information on the internet, and we can see what's happening in the world. What should we see and hear? What should we put in our heart? Depending on what we put in our heart, we can have peace and joy from God or not. We have to be cautious about this. We should only see and hear and act according to the truth. And through prayer, we must swiftly remove even worldly desires that have already taken root. Thirdly, the boast pride of life refers to the tendency to boast to exalt oneself in pursuit of all worldly pleasures. When this pride takes root, we boast about what we have, like wealth, honor, power, talent, looks, or knowledge, looking down on others and becoming arrogant. But James chapter 4, verse 16 says, "But as it is, you boast in your arrogance, all such boasting is evil." When such pride is in us, it's difficult to obey God's word, which tells us to be humble, serve, sacrifice, etc. Some people are receive a rebuke and they are reproached, and they feel like their rebuke excessively considering their fault, and these people are loving themselves, and I advise him, but he doesn't realize himself. Once you receive a rebuke, once he receives the rebukes, he suffers a lot. That's, he loves himself so much. I think the advice was not too much, but he agonizes and he suffers a lot by that advice or rebuke. That means he has become arrogant a lot. He has desires to boast himself. He has to desire to be recognized. Once he casts off such desires, he can empty himself, then he can replace it with goodness and truth. Even though you learn a lot of truth, why can't you put your heart into truth? Because you have your heart filled with the lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh. You have to discover them and cast them off. Only then can you have spiritual transformation. It is important that we completely cast off even such pride of life. Next, to become poor in spirit and possess heaven, we must become a child spiritually. The Bible says, "Truly I say to you, unless you are converted and become like children, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven." A spiritual child is simple, pure, and not arrogant. They easily believe good things, accept teachings, and obey without insisting on their pride or personal opinions. Likewise, we need to be humble and not arrogant, and we should obey immediately when hearing the truth. Also, in seeing and hearing the truth, we should rejoice and be glad like spiritual children. Then we can possess heaven. Let me conclude the message. Psalm chapter 73 verse 28 says, "But as for me, the nearness of God is my good." And 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 2 tells us, "Like newborn babies, long for the pure milk of the word, so that by it you may grow in respect to salvation." As the end draws nearer, people become proud amidst the darkness, love themselves and the world, and pursue lustful things all the more. In this generation, all of you who've heard the gospel of holiness with a poor spirit, believe in the works of power, and have come before God are truly blessed. Having taken the first blessing and come before God, I hope for you to draw closer to Him, quickly cast off sins, become spiritual children, and receive the blessings of heaven completely. May you receive the blessing of salvation and diligently share the gospel with unbelievers to lead those who are poor in spirit to the Lord. In this generation, people are rich in pride, and it's difficult for people to accept the gospel. Still, our MAMI members are working hard to share the gospel, giving out leaflets, and people are interested. And people are interested in healing. That's why we present healing testimonies on leaflets. And how people, when they feel like going to church, when they see the evidences of living God, especially the healing works or answers, regrettably, That's why God has given us the great power and to awaken the souls. Because Father God knows them, and Jesus knew people's hearts. He said that unless you see signs and wonders, you will never believe. The power of God is the key to opening the door to their hearts. Once we share the gospel, it would be best for people to say yes and come, but it's not easy. Because even saved children of God are, these people are born in the world and have become stained with the sins and evil. Once, just because we share the gospel once, would they accept the gospel? That's why we need to work harder and harder to evangelize. That's why Father God cherishes those who share the gospel. Father God will ultimately lead them to salvation, even though these people are not qualified to receive salvation, they would. So I really appreciate the dedication and sacrifice of those who evangelize, especially when we have like meetings. We see that even Christians don't like to hear the word. Even though they are saved, they don't really study the word. They don't try to go deeper and deeper into the gospel and the word. Even though they are in the boundary of salvation, they have a lot of worldly things filled in their hearts. So I also want you to examine whether you are like that. So we have to, through the messages on the Beatitudes, I pray that you will receive and enjoy perfect blessings from God and shine like the sun in everlasting heaven as well.
Hallelujah! Our Almighty Father God of love, please lay your hands on all the members who are receiving this prayer now. May you work in ways that transcend space and time for your children all over the world. I ask you to give them faith by which they can believe from the heart, drive away their negative thoughts and doubts, and make all their tests and tribulations go away. Scorch them from head to toe, all of their organs, intestines, bones, nerves, tissues, and cells with the fire of the Holy Spirit, and work with the original light. I command in the name of Jesus Christ, the enemy devil, all diseases, germs, and weaknesses go away. May the light come upon them. Please cleanse them of all terminal and incurable diseases by scorching them with the fire of the Holy Spirit. Drive away all endemic diseases, including malaria, all contagious and infectious diseases, and related symptoms such as cold, coughing, fever, and flu go away. May you protect them from all diseases. Heal them of all kinds of cancers, including monastic cancers, AIDS, leukemia, cerebral apoplexy, high and low blood pressures, heart disease, pulmonary or gastric disease, diabetes, women's disease, dermatitis, thyroid problems, and all kinds of inflammations. I ask you to perfectly heal them of polio, stroke, arthritis, and herniated discs. Make all kinds of pains go away, including backache, headache, and neuralgia. All mental diseases like epilepsy, autism, depression, manic depression, panic disorder, neurosis, dementia, go away. All kinds of paralysis go away. May they stand up, walk, and leap. Please make them see better or hear better. May the blind begin to see, the deaf to hear, and the mute to speak. Father, perfectly heal them of the after effects of all kinds of accidents and make their broken bones knit back together. Make their skins fully recover from burns. All burning sensations and heat go away. Father, please keep them from having any scar. Cleanse them of addiction to all kinds of drugs and poisoning. Make their dead nerves and cells regenerated. Make the dead revived. Father, may you bless infertile couples with a child. In the name of Jesus Christ, I command the enemy, devil, and Satan, all evil spirits, the ruler of the kingdom of the air, and their servants, go away. All evil spirits, dirty spirits, deceitful and crafty spirits, and separating and deceiving spirits, all darkness, go away. Darkness be driven away, and all the bonds of wickedness be loosed. May the light come. Father God, please give us strength to cry out in prayer and empower us to cast off sins and become sanctified. Make everything go well with them as their soul prospers and help them evangelize their families as well. All through the week, may you protect us from all accidents and disasters and bless us to lead a prosperous life where nothing goes wrong. Please protect all your children, their families, workplaces, and businesses with the fiery walls of the Holy Spirit, heavenly hosts and angels, and your blazing eyes. Give our students wisdom and understanding and let them have more fervor and passion to study hard. Protect their hearts and minds from being taken away by the world. Bless our students to love you more fervently. Please bless your children to lead a life where they do everything to the glory of God, whether they eat or drink or whatever they do. Bless them to always confess with their lips, "I've met an experienced God, I've received His answers and blessings." Father God, thank you. May you be glorified alone. I pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.